weeks ago, and the title of this series is Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table, and it is based on the book by the same title by the author Louis Giglio. And if you have not read the book, I suggest you get it, or if you'd prefer an audio version, there is on Audible. They do have the book for sale on there as well to listen to, and I really believe it'll be a blessing to your life. And so this series is based on the book. It's not meant to be exhaustive, but I'm kind of using it as a framework to build my lesson. And as I said from the very beginning, what we try to do on First Hour and on Better Way of Life Wednesday is really give you some good knowledge, some good information. And of course, we're doing that. But also, I really felt in my spirit that when I listened to this book and I've started reading through it again after listening to the whole thing, I really felt that the Lord wanted to use this to minister to us, because we are so susceptible in our human nature to allow the battles that we just obviously go through. The Bible says that we are a few days and full of trouble. And Jesus himself said, it's impossible except offenses will come. And so there's always going to be trials and tribulations and storms. It's just what life is made up of. And thankfully, we do have some sunny days in between, and we do have some downhill kind of days in between, but a lot of our days are uphill. A lot of our days are going through battles and struggles. We bring into every situation in our life the things that we've already been through. And, you know, in the psychological world, they call it PTSD, right? We bring in this trauma that we've been through, and sometimes we interpret new things through the trauma that we've already been through. And the enemy knows us very well, even though he does not have the ability to destroy us. Because if he could kill you, he would have already done it. If he could destroy your faith, he would have already done it. Because he hates us. He hates everything to do with God. And he really hates people that God has given a new life to, a new chance to, because he never got another chance, right? And so he knows us very well, even though he can't destroy us, even though he can't destroy our faith, he can't move us off the mark, he still knows us really well. And he knows when to attack, and he knows how to attack. And the Bible says that he is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I love those qualifiers in there. He is like a roaring lion. He is seeking whom he may devour. That's the qualifier to what he is trying to do. That means he is not really a lion. That means he's not really able to devour you. But he's seeking whom will allow him to affect us. And so we don't want to give the enemy a seat at our table. And this whole book is based on a very familiar psalm to us, Psalm 23. Most of us learn to quote it at a very early age. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so today, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Now, lesson one, we talked about we all have an enemy. He hates us. He hates everything about us. He does not want us to worship God. He does not want us to receive the salvation that God so aptly bought for us, paid for us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said it himself. He has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And so even though we go through trials and troubles and struggles, the Lord wants to make sure that we go through those things with joy. Now, joy doesn't mean that we're always smiling and laughing and feeling happy, right? Happy and joy is two different things. But joy is an abiding understanding of faith, a solid foundation that overrides our feelings and says, you know what? It's going to be okay. God has got this thing. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. No matter how bad it is, no matter how low I feel, no matter how hopeless I feel, God still knows where I am, and he loves me, and he cares about me. And so that's what joy unspeakable and full of glory is about. It's not about giggles and laughter and this surface feeling. And we love to feel those things. We love to laugh, and I think we should. We should be a happy people. But when things go wrong, as they often will, we have a joy that's way down deep in our heart. And so lesson one was about we have an enemy. Lesson two was take back your table. Take back your table. And now lesson three is a table in conflict. A table in conflict. Psalm 23:5 that we just read, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Psalm 23:5 is such a powerful verse. It has a beautiful twist, a beautiful message for you and for your enemy. I appreciate that the Lord gave us this beautiful verse that he is going to prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemy. And he is going to provide for us in the midst of the trouble. You know, a table is representative of God's provision. You very seldom have a table without something on it, right? I have a table, I have water, just in case I start choking up today and need to take a drink. And when you have a table, it's a place of fellowship. It's a place of provision. It is a place of sustenance and strength for the next moment, the next day, right? And so we want to understand that God is preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemy. And so now we have this table before us, and then it's not long until you get to the verse that says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so I have before me a table of provision, a table of fellowship, a table of communion. And then I have behind me his goodness and mercy that is following me. I have in the midst of the darkest valley that he is with me. He doesn't just know where I am, he's with me. Amen. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And so this is such a powerful passage of scripture that we understand that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Now notice, it's prepared for you, but not removed from your enemy. So you have a table that's prepared, but the enemy's still there. Now, I don't know about you, but I would choose a different venue, right? I would choose different set of circumstances. I would choose to be translated from the battlefield, from the face of my enemy, from the face of my trouble. And maybe, you know, maybe I get to sit in a prime seat, you know. When you go to a nice restaurant, if you make a reservation, many times they will ask you, do you have a preference? Do you have a preference where to sit? You know, and so you can say, well, I'd like to sit by the window. I'd like to sit upstairs, you know. I'd like to sit, you know, when my wife and I go together by ourselves, I'd like to sit away from people, you know. And so many times in our own walk with God, we would choose a different venue, right? I would love for him to translate us behind a plate glass window where we could look out and kind of laugh at our enemy. You know, I got surf and turf here and you're out there, you know, you're just scrounging. You're just trying to get in. You can't get in. But that's not how God works. He does a table in the midst of your conflict. The midst of your conflict. How challenging it is, you know, when we go through trouble. And I've noticed in my own life, trouble comes around quite often, especially as a pastor, because not only do I go through my own trouble, but I go through other people's troubles with them. And it, you know, pastoring is kind of like a roller coaster. You know, you're like, oh, it's, you know, it's kind of smooth. We're just kind of, you know, and then you start uphill. You're like, oh, what's coming next, right? It's like a roller coaster that you've never been on before. You're not sure where the dips and the turns and the loops are. And there's a roller coaster at Disney. It's at Animal Kingdom. It's called Expedition Everest. And it's part of this mountain that they built. It's not a real mountain. It's just a fake mountain. But you kind of go up, and part of it you can see, and part of it you can't. You get up there, and you get about halfway through the ride, and it takes you into the dark, and it stops. Now, the first time, you're like, what in the world is about to happen? Because you can't see. And then all of a sudden, instead of going up, you're going backwards. And you're going in the dark, and you can feel you don't know that you're upside down, but you're definitely upside down. And so it's just dips and turns and all sorts of things. That's really how life is, you know. As a pastor, you know, I get one phone call, oh, we're having a baby. We're getting married. Everything's going good. We got a new house. We got a new car. We got a new job, right? And then 2 seconds later, everything's falling apart. Somebody got a cancer diagnosis, or somebody lost their job, or somebody's struggling in their marriage. It's like, woo, hi, hi, yay, whoa, praise God, oh, you know, that's really what it's like. But, you know, I don't think it's just exclusive to pastors. It's really just everybody. Life is kind of filled with that kind of stuff, you know. You get a check in the mail, and the next day you get a bill in the mail, and, you know, whatever. It's just the issues. But here we have this promise that he is preparing us a table in the middle of our conflict. And so I have a very vivid imagination. I can imagine being in the battle, and I can imagine the arrows flying and the swords crashing against one another, and the swords and spears hitting the shields, and I can hear the grunts and the anger and the battle going on. And then all of a sudden, it's like in the middle of all that trouble, if we will allow God, it'll be like a little bubble. He'll just kind of put us in, and all of a sudden, he's there. In the cancer wards, he's there. In the broken homes, he's there. In the job stresses, in the depression, in the persecution, and even in the death, the loss of loved ones. The list goes on and on and on. We know them very well because we've all been through them. We've had family members that have gone through them. But in the midst of all of that, if we will pay attention, if we will turn our eyes on the Lord, if we, as the Bible says in Psalms as well, if you look to the hills from whence cometh your help, if you will allow the Lord to be what he wants to be in your life, it won't be long until you realize that he is preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. In the midst of your trouble, he will sustain you. He will help you. He will strengthen you. And he will give you this faithful message. Hey, I am with you, lo, even to the end of the world. The writer also wrote this: if I make my bed in hell, there you are. If I take the wings of the morning and I go into the mountains, you're there. It doesn't matter where I go, you're there. And I want you to realize today, as I minister to you, as the Spirit ministers to you, really, it's not me, that whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, whatever trouble is there or maybe on the horizon, let me tell you that the Lord that loves you, he loves you so much that he gave his own life. He shed his own blood. He established a relationship with you with the highest price he could pay. Why? Because he has placed on you and on me the highest value that anyone could ever place. There's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friend. But the Bible tells us that he didn't lay it down for a friend. He died. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. When we hated his way, when we didn't go his way, he still loved us. He still cared about us. He still wanted us. And he paid the price for your peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was punished when we should have been punished. And we should have been thrown to the dogs, but he gave his life. Amen. I can picture this table. You know, it's really a table for two. It's for us, and then hopefully it's for him. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Don't give away God's seat. Amen. I can picture this table, the salvation, peace, provision, protection. Amen. We all love to eat, right? Anybody here not love to eat? Surely. Surely, there's no one here like that. You know, I love to go, of course, I could eat Mexican food like three times a day, every day of the week, and never get tired of it, I think. I know this is going to be a shock to everyone here, but I am a creature of habit. I'm a creature of habit. I know it's so shocking. So I love to go places over and over, because I like to know people's names, and I love it when they know mine. It's just a thing. And so I tend to go back over and over. My wife and I have a place we go on Tuesday nights after prayer, usually, and they know us. I know most of their names, and say hi to them by name, and so I enjoy doing that. On Saturday night, most of the time, not every Saturday night, I make my wife go to Chipotle with me. I don't know. I just like it. It's just good. Just go. So You know, I love to go to a place. I love Gloria's. Have you ever been to Gloria's? These are not paid advertisements, so. But you know what? We can talk. We can talk, you know. You know, the black bean dip and the salsa and the chips and come on now. See, I don't eat breakfast, so then I get start talking about food. I just drink coffee in the morning, so maybe I should start eating breakfast. Anyway, but you know, it's always nice when they bring you out something beforehand. You know, you go to a place, you get chips and salsa, or you go to a place and they bring out bread. You know, I love when they ask if you want bread. Is that a question? Does anybody say no? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. But you know, I can just picture this table, you know, and the Lord doesn't do anything on a budget, you know. He's always extravagant. I can imagine the white linen, the real silverware, the real china laid out, the cloche over the food there. Amen. I can imagine, you know, can you imagine this is the creator, the one that said, let there be, and there was. But you know, he's also the one that girded himself with a towel and knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. So here he is. He's preparing a table. I can imagine his little towel over his arm. And say, here it is. Here it is. It's beautiful. Right in the midst of all the trouble, the chaos, the arrows flying, the dirt being stirred up by the footsteps, the clash of swords and spears and shields and the clank of armor. But yet, in the midst of all of this trouble, he said, look, I got something for you. I just want to remind you who I am. The Bible uses this beautiful term, and I've taught you about this term before. And it just says, the Lord is my portion. And you know, we think of portion as a negative, right? You know, if you're portioning your food, that means you're on a diet, right? You're working on your portions. You're just weighing it out, making sure you don't eat too much. And Lord knows I can do that as well. That would probably be good for me. But I'm talking about food today, so let's don't do that. But when the Bible says the Lord is our portion, he doesn't mean is he's just a little bit. He's not putting on us on a diet of just a little bit of peace, just a little bit of mercy, and just a little bit of long suffering. And that's not what it means. It's in the same vein as when Moses said, Who should I tell them has sent me? And he said, I am that I am. What was he telling Moses, and what is he telling us when he is our portion? He's telling us, look, I'm whatever it takes. It's a blank check. So when you're short, whatever it takes to meet the bill, whatever it takes to meet the circumstance, that's what I am. That's here. This is, I am your portion. I am that I am. I'm a blank check. I'm whatever you need, that's what I am. However long you need me, that's how long I am. That's where I am. Whatever you need, I'm preparing a table of salvation, of peace, of provision, of protection. I am preparing you a beautiful place where you can be sustained. Where not only, listen, this is what I like about it, that not only that you will know that I'm your God, but I didn't hide it from the enemy. I didn't pull you away and translate you into another world of peace, but right there where the enemy is. Because I'm not only sending you a message today, I'm sending the enemy of your soul a message. That this woman, this man is mine. They're mine. You can't have them. You can't touch them. You can't destroy them. I love the story of Job. You know, Job was a good man. He was a righteous man. He woke up every morning and he made sacrifices, not only for himself, but for his children. When everything was going good, he was worshiping God. And then when everything went south, you know, the enemy came before the Lord, and the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, well, he only serves you because you do good for him. Well, okay, well, you can take his stuff. Just don't touch him. But in all of this process, we see the Lord is in control. The enemy could only go as far as the Lord let him. And so be encouraged today. If you're facing a battle, the test is not to destroy you. The test is for a testimony. The mess is for a message. The Lord is building something in you. And not only is he building something in you, but he is using you as a frame, as a display for his grace, for his mercy, for his provision. Well, y'all want to know who I am? Look, here I am. Kevin is going through something, but here he's making it. When he thought he couldn't go anymore, I gave him a table. When Tina didn't think she could make it, I showed up. When you're searching from place to place and church to church and truth to truth.
Glory to you, mighty God.
Just one little invite for Chesco to first Wednesday in August. Just, what was he saying? Saying, hey, I looked at you and I saw your desire.
Hallelujah.
Your search.
Amen.
I prepared a place.
Come on.
Now, let me remind you. First of all, there are whosoever will tables in Scripture. The Bible says in Isaiah 25 and 6, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. Revelations 22 and 17, something we're very familiar with. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let him come and take the water of life freely. And so there are some whosoever will tables. But this table is inclusive in that it promises, or it is a promise for everybody.
Amen.
Yet the table we're talking about today is exclusive in that it is personal for you and your circumstance. Now the table of salvation is for everybody, anybody that wants to come.
Amen.
We all come together. We're all equal at the cross. We all have the ability to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with his glorious spirit. But God is not only a universal God for anyone. Whosoever will, let them come and drink from the waters of life freely. But once we have come, and once we have repented, and once we have been washed in the waters of baptism, and once we have been filled with his spirit, now we are his sons and his daughters. And the relationship, hear me today, the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Father and the daughter is personal. I have a son and I have a daughter and I am equally in love with them. I love them. And I am their father collectively. But I have a personal relationship with both of them. And it's different. It's different because they're different. I'm the same person, but they're different. And so I relate to them differently. I do things for them differently. I speak to them differently. When they were in my house and young enough to have punishment, I punished them differently. Not because of one was favored over the other, but they just responded differently, right? And so God is our Father. And he welcomes everyone, whosoever will come.
Amen.
But he's your Father. He's my Father. He deals with me in different ways than he deals with you. Why? Not because he's different, but because you're different. And so he knows you. He knows your name. Listen to me. The enemy wants to make you a number. He wants to make you anonymous. But let me remind you today in this powerfully simple message today. He knows your name. He knows the number of your days. He formed you in your mother's womb. You would not be here except the Spirit drew you. You are here today, and he knows where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you what you're going through. He knows what you're facing tomorrow and what you're facing yesterday. He knows the kind of baggage that you brought into the relationship. He understands because he knows you. So this is a private table. It's reserved. It's for you. And it's for him. It's personal. Because he knows who you are. And he knows what you're going through. In fact, he knows better than you do. I do this all the time. You know, I go to the Lord and say, well, you know this, I'm going through this and this and this, and I'm trying to describe it. You ever try to tell somebody how you feel, and you know, they kind of look at you like, yeah. Well, you think that's bad, wait till you hear this, right? That's the way we are, always one-upping one another. But when I go to him, my words pale in comparison to my feelings. And so sometimes, many times, I just weep and I just whisper his name, Jesus. And when you do that, I recognize that he knows all the nuances that I can't even explain to myself, much less explain to somebody else. He not only knows what I'm feeling in the moment, he knows why I'm feeling it in the moment. He knows my doubts and my fears and my hopes and my dreams and my losses and my successes and my gains and my downfalls, and he knows it all.
Amen.
And so when he prepares a table for you, he already knew your mess. He already knew your test. He already knew your struggle. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know about you. I told my wife this the other day. I said, as I'm writing this, as I'm going through this, it's the Lord's ministering to me. Because you know when the ship's being tossed back and forth and you feel like you're about to go down, it's so easy to forget the times that he's helped you before.
Amen.
Amen. The disciples forgot the miracles of the loaf and the fish.
Amen.
When did they forget it? When the storm was raging. But here we are in the midst of our trouble. Amen. Let's picture the setting of your table. It's the good shepherd. He is both the chef and the server. You survey the amazing feast with everything your heart could desire laid out in front of you. Wow, here I am in the midst of my battle. Here I am. As you stand there taking in this amazing scene, it dawns on you. God and I are not alone. This table is not the only thing that's here. The enemies are still in view. The trouble, the trial, they still encircle you. The scowls, the growls, the jeers, the taunts, the threats, the pain, the uncertainty is still there. It hasn't left you. Sometimes we're like Peter walking on the water, you know. Lord, bid me come. Come on. And old bold Peter, you know, let's get out. He comes down out of the ship and he walks on water. The disciples are amazed and Peter's amazed, and here he's going toward Jesus, and all of a sudden, boom, waves, light flashes, thunder and lightning, and trouble and trials and tribulations. All of a sudden, he looks around, and instead of seeing the table, he sees the trouble. Instead of seeing the feast, he sees the fight. Instead of seeing the provision, he sees the crazy stuff that is going on around him. And we're like Peter, glove, 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 glove. Jesus grabs him and picks him up. He says, oh, Peter, why'd you doubt? But you know what? Peter doubts because we doubt. Thank God. Say this all the time. I'm so glad the Lord didn't whitewash the scripture. Every failing is in there. And so the moment you start to become overwhelmed with all that is surrounding you, flashing, the battle, the hate, the jeers, the scowl, the conversations, the whispers, all of a sudden, through all the trouble you hear, take a seat, my son. Take a seat, my daughter. Take a seat. And here we are on this just ordinary Sunday morning. The Spirit is moving in this place just to remind you, hey, even though I am surrounded by my enemies, God has prepared a table for me. It has my name on it, reserved for Kevin.
Hallelujah.
It has your name on it. There's a table that's yours, reserved for her. Insert your name. It's yours. And the enemy can't touch you at his table. I will sit down with him. And so the gift of his table is so much more than a temporary rest or provision. It's more than the cloth napkins, it's more than the white linen, it's more than the silverware and the china and the utensils. It's more. It's more than all of that, because what he's offering you, the gift of this moment, is himself. It's himself. He is giving you him. He is saying, I am a present help in the time of trouble. The one who is infinite, the one is holy, the one is who is almighty, the creator, the savior, the one that said, let there be and there was, the one that he does not exist in time, but time exists in him. He's from eternity to eternity. There is no beginning and there is no end in him. There is no understanding of his holiness. There is no understanding of his might. He is almighty. He is the creator. He is the savior. This one has prepared a table for you. Everything you need.
Thank you, Jesus.
The things you didn't know you needed. He's there. And in closing today, let me just remind you that he knows. Let that sink in. He knows. Have you ever walked through something with somebody? And you had this camaraderie? That's really what's so beautiful about marriage is that two becomes one. And you go through things. There's times that my wife and I have gone through things and are going through things, and she weeps and I weep and we hold hands and we don't even have to talk about it because we know. We know because we're both walking through the same thing. But the Lord is on a whole different level. Because he doesn't just know what you know. He knows what you don't know. He knows what got you there. He knows what's going to get you through it.
Amen.
He knows. Because when we're going through things, we think we're going to be crushed. I don't think I can make it. We're like Elijah. I'm no better than my father's. Why don't you just take me now?
Right.
Kill me now. Destroy me now. I don't think I can take one more thing. But the Lord knows you're going to make it.
Amen.
The Lord knows he's never going to leave you or forsake you because he's got a table for you.
Amen.
He knows. He cares. He loves. He protects. And he provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For what? For his name's sake. What does that mean? He's leading me in the paths of righteousness again so that I can be a picture of his grace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hallelujah.
The variable in this equation today is who you allow to sit.
Amen.
At your table. Do you allow him or do you allow your enemy?
Thank you, Jesus.
because your enemy wants to poison you with sadness and bitterness and hopelessness. But God wants to feed you with joy and peace and contentment. Amen. Can we stand together right now? Amen, amen. I don't know about you, but there is a powerful anointing in this place. The Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Amen. Could we pray right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful lesson. Lord, it's not beautiful because I prepared it. It's beautiful because you ordained it. Lord, I pray that you touch your people right now, that you minister to our minds, our hearts, that you encourage us in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would strengthen us. As we worship you this second hour, let your spirit be poured out upon every soul in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise him for his word right now. Amen. Amen. Glory.